we'll talk a little bit about that when we get to the sermon. But before we get there, of course, we do as our forebears have done for millennia. We listen to the scriptures together and we stand in reverence for God's word. Will you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's word? As Pastor Jeff comes.
From the Revelation of John, chapter 21, I invite you to hear the word of the Lord. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end." From John's Gospel, chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, the Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. You may be seated, everybody. Let's just pause for a moment before we go any further. Spirit of the living God, we ask you now to hover over this place, bringing about order from chaos, bringing joy and discouragement, hope and hopelessness. We ask you to do what you do best, oh God, recreation, new creation. We want to be a new creation community here, Table Life Church, people who are poised and ready for this coming year to learn and lean into the way of Jesus as we invite others to join us at his table. We ask you now toward that end to use these words as a means of grace for those gathered here today, a means of your healing grace, your saving grace, your sanctifying grace. Lord, whatever grace we need, we're here with our buckets held up, asking you to rain your grace down upon us. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, courage to obey. In Christ's name, amen and amen. So as I've mentioned, I really feel like this is a strange time of the year. It always is for me, at least. It always feels like it's just an odd time of the year. You know, our gatherings feel a little different because of different the changing dynamics. This just, for me, feels like a uniquely odd time of the year. On the one hand, the Christian calendar, as I mentioned, formed over the millennia by the church in reflection upon the story of Jesus, says that this is the first and this year the only Sunday of the season called Christmas, which, as you know, this is the sixth day of a 12-day season. On the other hand, our civil and secular calendar tells us this is, of course, the last Sunday of 2018. The Christian calendar, of course, doesn't even acknowledge that we've begun a civil new year because we already had our Christian new year and it was the first Sunday of Advent. I've tried over the years now, over these last 3 years, to communicate how important I think it is that people, that Jesus people specifically, mark time by the beat of a holy drummer. I have come to understand over the years of my following the Christian calendar how deeply our spiritual formation is nurtured by keeping time holy, celebrating the feast days and observing the fast days that make up the seasons of the Christian year so as to live into the story of Jesus by keeping time with the life of Jesus, which I've said many times. The Christian calendar is nothing more or less than keeping time with the life of Jesus. Now, there are, of course, other radical and beautiful ways to be formed in the way of Christ that we practice here at Table Life Church, like feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and empowering the vulnerable and loving the enemy and forgiving the offender and many, many other ways. But living by the life of Jesus in our daily lives, keeping the rhythms of the Christian year, keeping Sabbath holy, seems rather fundamental to our formation in the way of Jesus. Now, I know, and I want you to hear me. I know that you can celebrate all the feast days of the historic Orthodox Christian faith without pleasing God. Christians have been doing that for a long time. I know it's possible to celebrate Advent and Epiphany and Lent and go through Holy Week and do all those things and at the same time dishonor God. I get that. But what I'm suggesting is that for the devout follower of Jesus who wants to live life surrendered to the way of Jesus, living the seasons of the Christian year can be a powerful tool for our formation. Christians are people who allow Jesus to frame the entirety of their lives, including the way we frame our time. But, and here's what you need to know, keeping time differently will create a tension with our host culture. A few years ago, the Kazee family had an impromptu Christmas celebration on New Year's Eve. I had bought an English Christmas pudding on sale because one of the great things about celebrating Christmas I've learned for 12 days is that when you continue to buy presents and ornaments for the tree, they're all on sale now. Okay, so for those of you who are practical, there's a plus for celebrating the 12 days of Christmas. So I had purchased an old Christmas pudding, English pudding. If you don't know what that is, Google it. And I brought it for Jane as a gift for me. Really, it was for me. And we had some leftover Christmas English Christmas crackers. If you don't know what a Christmas cracker is, I can tell you it's not a saltine thing you put in your mouth. Okay, Google it. All right. So if you're not sure what that is, we had some leftover Christmas crackers, and so we decided to celebrate then. It was the seventh day of Christmas with the pudding and the Christmas crackers and the silly little crowns that come inside the Christmas crackers, which we did last night on the sixth day of Christmas. Because again, the seventh day of Christmas today is always the other national holiday in my household, Jane's birthday today. Anyway, happy birthday, honey. Where is she? She's here. Oh, there you are. I knew she was in here somewhere. So we decided to celebrate the seventh day of Christmas, Jane's birthday, with the pudding and the Christmas crackers. Oh, well, this was not her birthday that day, but anyway, and with the silly little crowns and all that. But my point is, in all of this rambling, is that it was a small little act of rebellion for us, celebrating the seventh day of Christmas rather than New Year's Eve. It created a little tension with our culture, which I think is a good thing for our Christian formation. I sense the same tension when we were still singing Christmas carols today on December 30th, while our host culture has all but moved away and is now planning, of course, New Year's Eve, and many are planning for Valentine's Day. It's a small thing, Christmas songs on the sixth day of Christmas, but small things can be very formative, very formative. The small tensions we sense when doing things like celebrating Pentecost rather than Father's Day, or not having an Easter egg hunt on Holy Saturday and waiting till Easter, or singing Christmas carols when the radio stations have stopped playing carols, or still talking about the baby Jesus after most folk have left the manger, is one of the ways we remember that we are church. Church is a people called out, and therefore a people who do not live like everyone else lives because we are called out. My point isn't just to advocate the keeping of time with the seasons of the Christian calendar because I'm a traditionalist at heart. I will confess that I'm a conservative at heart, but I want to conserve the ancient traditions of the Christian calendar. But I would also acknowledge that not all things from the past are worth conserving, and it requires wisdom. To know that. But I think there is much wisdom in conserving the traditions rooted in the historic Orthodox Christian faith. As you know by now, I am a passionate advocate of the robust expression of the historic Orthodox Christian faith rooted in the ancient stories, in the creedal confessions of our church, and the teachings of the mothers and the fathers who help us understand what it means to be followers in the way of Jesus. There's much wisdom, a deep well of wisdom there to access if we're willing to do so. But my point here is not just about conserving tradition. It is about this wisdom handed down to us, wisdom that has stood the test of time, wisdom not subject to the whims of faddish evangelicalism. That kind of wisdom. If it is because of this deep well of wisdom that I advocate keeping time in a uniquely Christian way rooted in the history rooted in history, rooted in the ways our forebears have handed to us. I think there's great wisdom, therefore, in not leaving the baby Jesus too quickly behind. For in the manger lays explicitly our incarnate God for us to behold. And therefore, I think there's profound wisdom in lingering with the baby. Now, on Christmas Eve, we beheld the second person of the Holy Trinity, very God of very God, sleeping where the slop for the animals was supposed to be. This is both a beautiful and, if you think about it, scandalous thing. We Christians are so used to God becoming human that we can scarcely grasp how incredibly scandalous it is for every other world religion like Islam or Judaism to believe that God would become one of us. This is, for many persons from other world religions, and not in secular people, a bridge too far. God becoming a human is a bridge too far. Because our God weeps. Our God has a runny nose. Our God has diarrhea. Our God has body odor. Our God went through puberty. For those you know, parents of teenagers, you're like, wow, it is scandalous. That God would inhabit flesh is a scandalous thing. And yet this is precisely the central confession of the Christian faith. So on the first day of Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation, God becoming flesh. And for the remaining 11 days of Christmas, we are encouraged to ponder deeply the meaning of incarnation, the implications of the incarnation, the scandal of the incarnation, and the responsibilities of incarnational living. So the question then is, it's the sixth day of Christmas and the last Sunday of 2018. And my question is, how will we, people of the incarnation, live our lives in 2019? What will make our year uniquely incarnational? How will we honor the God who enters the muck and the mess of humanity's brokenness? Will we follow him into the muck and the mess of humanity's brokenness? And what about the question I asked today? The simple question. Are you anxious and fearful or peaceful and excited, optimistic? Are you optimistic about 2019? And what led you to choose your number that you had chosen? Optimism doesn't come easily for me. I have confessed that before. I am, as you know, a recovering cynic. I am being saved from my cynicism by the gospel very slowly. And to be sure, the gospel wants to save me from my cynicism and save you from your cynicism. And so my number without the gospel this morning would be pretty low. My number is higher because I'm a follower of Jesus. Not because I look on the bright side of life, but because I'm a follower of Jesus. And my faith, therefore, calls me to an optimism. See, people of the incarnation are compelled to be optimistic because of our story of divine love inhabiting human flesh compels us to be optimistic. God spoke into existence the stars and the planets from nothing. Ex nihilo. God created all things. And scientists believe that the universe began with an infinitesimally small grain of incomprehensible density and that exploded into an ever-expanding universe, including this tiny, beautiful, blue-green planet of ours. That's how science describes God's word bringing forth life. They call it Big Bang. People of faith say God spoke, and it was a Big Bang of creative energy. So God created this world of ours with boundaries and freedom, and things went admittedly, very quickly, haywire as we began to misuse and abuse our freedom. You see, love is a most costly thing to create, given that a key ingredient is human freedom. Indeed, we were created for love, but we took advantage of our freedom and began to do things that displeased God. We began to live outside of the boundaries and beauty that God has established for us. We began to live selfishly and foolishly. Humanity rebelled, but God began the long story of healing and redemption. There was the expulsion, of course, from the garden, the purifying waters of the flood, and then the creation of God's people called Israel. God revealed a boundless tenacity to stay with the story that God authored. But God wasn't done wooing us after the creation of Israel. God sent prophets and priests and kings to call us back to covenantal fidelity. But on the whole, God's people were resistant to God's overtures. We abused power and took advantage of the weak and flaunted God's grace and ignored God's loving boundaries and worshiped all sorts of obscene idols and images. But God was not done wooing us. God sent Jesus. The Word became flesh, John's gospel tells us. Lived among us, tabernacled among us, set up camp among us. God lived among us, God taught us, God revealed explicitly the true nature of both humanity and divinity. In Jesus, heaven and earth were joined in seamless union. And then we killed him. And you'd think that would have been the end of the story. You kill my son, we're probably going to have a problem. You'd think that'd be the end of the story. You'd think killing God would be the end of it. God would finally wad up this blue-green planet of ours and throw it in the waste bin once and for all, or at least wipe humanity from the face of the earth for killing God's son. But God still wasn't done wooing us. Resurrection became God's astounding sign that God would not abandon human flesh. The baby born in the manger died on a cross and was raised to new bodily existence. Not a spiritual existence, but a holy new bodily existence. And so it is through the incarnation that we not only understand Jesus' presence among us, but through the incarnation, we understand God's future for us. God became flesh, and even after we killed God, God was resurrected to an altogether new bodily existence. And this, brothers and sisters, is God's plan for us. God's plan is to resurrect both heaven and earth to newness of life, new creation, new heaven, new earth, making all things new, not all new things. There is a difference. Which brings us, of course, to Revelation 21. We've worked with this text several times, I know, but I have to pair it with John's gospel, John's Christmas story, for obvious reasons, or at least I hope it will be obvious today. John sees, as we've noted, the new heavens and the new earth. John sees the new Jerusalem. That is the location, the locus of God's presence. Doing what? Coming down from heaven to earth. John's poetic vision is that of heaven and earth joining in seamless union. Hear this. The same union of heaven and earth that was revealed in Jesus, the incarnation. My point being that incarnation isn't only about the former acts of God in history. Incarnation is about the future work of God beyond history. Which is to say, if we're to be a part of what God has done, is doing, and will do, it had better have something to do with incarnation, or we'll miss God. It had better have something to do with this material world and this bodily existence that we inhabit now. Christmas isn't something that Christians celebrate only on the 25th of December or even celebrate for 12 days. Christmas, the Feast of the Nativity, is something Christians live now and forever. So Eugene Peterson said, and I quote, "If we want to maintain alertness to what God is doing, hear him, we must keep our eyes and our ears open in the place that he is doing it. Creation, heaven and earth is God's workplace." And get this. All dematerialized spiritualities are vacant lots. I love that sentence. I wish I had wrote it. But I'm not Eugene Peterson. But all dematerialized spiritualities are vacant lots. From the beginning to the end of our creation story, God is about redeeming flesh and blood, stars and planets, communities and peoples, lakes and streams, towns and cities. John sees a city coming down out of heaven as a symbol of what it means when God brings healing to all of creation. Peterson, one more time, comments, and this is probably my favorite quote of quotes. This is from Reverse Thunder, by the way, the book Peterson wrote on the Revelation. And here it is, and I quote him. "Many people want to go to heaven the way they want to go to Florida. They think the weather will be an improvement and the people decent." I I love that. But the biblical heaven is not a nice environment far removed from the stress of hard city life. It is the invasion of the city, small c, by the city, large c. We enter heaven not by escaping what we don't like, but by the sanctification of the place in which God has placed us. There is no hint of escapism in St. John's heaven, end quote. No hint of escapism in St. John's heaven. So when I think of 2019, I think about God's eternal future, and I think about that baby that was born to us, God in the flesh, on the first Christmas, and I ask myself, what does it mean to live in the incarnation now and forevermore? Because that's God's plan for us, and we better get with God's plan. When the Christmas tree is down and the lights have been packed away, what does it mean to live our Christmas story? And I love Peterson's wisdom. We enter heaven not by escaping what we don't like, but by the sanctification of the place in which God has placed us. Whew, that's good. For some of us, perhaps, living incarnationally as children of the incarnation in 2019 now, may mean simply, hear this, it may mean for us, generally speaking, but also in very specific ways, choosing to love anew the place that God has put us. Choosing to love anew the place that God has put us. What will it mean for us to love anew the place that God has put us? Generally speaking, there are two broad categories of ministry that you can be involved with or in here at Table Life Church. I was just thinking about this the other day. This is how I would organize the ministries that you can be involved with, the activities that you can be involved with here at Table Life Church. And they are two broad categories, and there is some interplay between both of them, and some of them have a foot in each camp. But just for organizational purposes, here's how I would articulate the two broad categories of ministry that you can be involved with in 2019. They are either ministries of formation or ministries of missional engagement. Ministries of formation or ministries of missional engagement. So I would, in my mind, I think of ministries of formation, including all of the stuff we do, like Christian education opportunities, smaller groups, table groups, recovery and support ministries, all the ministries from nursery. And may I just parenthetically say something about our nursery? I just feel like I want to highlight it today. You must understand, people of God, that there is no more important place in our church, in that room back there where our babies are. And here's the reason why. That's where you and I began to learn that there's a community that loves me before I could love it. That's where you and I learned that there's a safe place among a people who's going to be with you all of your life if you stay with them. It begins back there in the nursery. Formation begins back there in the nursery at Table Life Church. Just a little plug for our nursery workers, how much I appreciate you and thank you for being back there and making that happen for us. And of course, opportunities for those who want to serve in that area are always bound. But anyway, moving on. You knew there was a commercial coming, right? Ministries of formation includes all of those things. Our common meals are ministry of formation. Financial Peace University, which is beginning on the 9th of January. And again, some of these ministries are both of missional engagement and of formation. They're a little bit of both. I understand that. And then, and I've missed some, and forgive me if I have, from all of our student ministries and all the things that Fuse does. And goodness gracious, I just couldn't possibly articulate all that and get you out of here in a reasonable amount of time. But my point, I'm just trying to help you think about the ways we organize and think about our ministry here as we think about 2019. And so the other category is ministries of missional engagement. Here are some of them. Breakfast ministry in Harrisburg. Second Sunday, is that right, folks? Second Sunday. Breakfast ministry in Harrisburg. Next week, we... Don't mess me up, Becky. That's my administrator giving me the wrong information. Anyway, moving on. Ministries of missional engagement include breakfast ministry in Harrisburg in 2 weeks. And then, of course, our partnership with New Hope Ministries, which has multifaceted means through which we engage our parish through this partnership, including making sure on the third Saturday that we have New Hope, we keep New Hope open so that vulnerable people can access food on that day. Things like we partner with them to serve senior persons in our neighborhood and just lots of stuff going on there. And we make sure that they have toiletries on their shelves. Okay, toiletries on their shelves. Now, you better believe that that is incarnational. That is incarnational right there. Providing that for the vulnerable in our community. Now, and I could name many more things. I'm sure I'm missing some stuff. But I also want to talk about, just briefly, what's on the horizon. What opportunities you'll have if you're looking for a place to serve, to be a part of this. Because I really believe 2019 is going to be a pivotal year as we up the ante on our parish engagement and our missional ministries. And I think that the degree to which we are a fruitful and successful church in the way of Jesus is the degree to which we have the majority, if not everybody in this room, participating in some way in ministries of missional engagement. It seems to me that that is one primary measurement that we should be looking at to see how it is we're actually doing as a church in this coming year. So we're hoping to add some things in the coming year. We are planning to add a Wednesday night meal ministry once a month, starting once a month on a Wednesday night, just like we do in Harrisburg, or sort of like we do in Harrisburg, but we're bringing it here, and it's going to be an evening meal, and we'll be letting you know more about that, but we're going to first of all need some old reused dishes from you, if you have some used dishes to donate to us. We don't even know what we're calling it yet. We're working on, I'm supposed to be working on language, I know, Kara, all right? But it's coming. Kara Goldsboro is leading it. It's going to happen. And we're going to need some of you to make it good and beautiful. We are expanding our recovery ministry significantly this year under Pastor Jeff's leadership. And we'll be unveiling that in the coming year. Recovery groups here. Time probably Wednesday night, but we're still figuring all those details out, but we'll let you know. And then we've just had meetings just the end of this year with Family Promise. This is so exciting. It looks as though, and I'm not sure yet, it looks as though we're going to partner with them by letting them use our guest house in a term-limited basis to take families that have been very closely monitored through their process, who are on the cusp of getting out of homelessness, and using our home as their home as they finish the process of moving out of homelessness. Now that's cool. Is that not cool? Is that not a beautiful ministry? Is that not incarnational? That's exciting. That's exciting. So there's that, and what else we got here? Of course, there's our Life Strategies Counseling Center. We've been raising money during our Advent conspiracy to bless Jeff and Becky Wolf, and I'm going to be announcing the number here shortly, and good stuff, all right? And we're just expanding that. And here's the thing about Life Strategies Counseling Center. It is both a formational ministry, obviously, but it's also a missional engagement ministry. We have other facets, of course, of global engagement. Our Haiti partnership is underway, and we're looking forward to getting to Haiti. I'm hoping we'll be there in June. We support Impact Church Plant during our Advent Conspiracy a year ago, and now they are planted, and they're meeting weekly, and I'll be letting you know more about what they're doing. We are always engaged under Frank Meyer's leadership with NMI and knowing what our denomination is doing in the world and how we can support and pray toward that end. And I've missed some stuff. We've got some stuff brewing. We've got some stuff perking. Ministries to veterans. We have a ministry to veterans who are suffering from PTSD that's perking right now. All right? I'm really excited about that possibility. We have some stuff perking. All right? And here's what I'm going to say to you. If there's something you sense God is calling you to do through the life of this church, or talk to us. Now, we could get too busy, and I've mentioned a lot of stuff, and I'm a little bit worried about that. But let's just continue to discern together God's will for us. Because chances are, if it's incarnational, you're going to get my support. You're going to get my support. Okay? So all of these ministries, all of them, are all because we worship the God who became flesh and is committed to redeeming flesh. He just won't give up. He just won't give up. Isn't that not good news? He just won't give up. Our story is a God of tenacity beyond comprehension. Beyond comprehension. So our mission, as you know, is to learn the way of Jesus together as we invite others to join us at his table. And we have these four common practices to support this mission of gathering and growing and giving and going, all because we worship the God of the incarnation. So this year, my prayer is that we lean even more fully into God's future now. God's future revealed throughout the prophets and in John's revelation, certainly, where John says, see, the home of God is among mortals, and he will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. Every tear. So that phrase, wipe every tear from their eyes, arrests my attention. Arrests my attention. We are not afraid of tears here at Table Life Church. The church is not afraid of tears. Who serve an incarnational God, you better not be afraid of tears, because if you're going to enter the muck and mess of this world, and if you're going to love people who are broken and hurting, you better believe somewhere along the way you're going to well up with tears. John sees new creation made possible by God's intimate presence among God's people. So tender is this vision of a God who wipes the tears from our eyes. Now, this shouldn't surprise us, because our God wept human tears. Our God wept human tears. And my sense is that if we want to learn the way of Jesus, it will involve in some way weeping with those who weep and wiping tears away, comforting the outcast, encouraging the discouraged, living in community with the vulnerable, living future incarnation now. All because our God became flesh and was raised to bodily life and will one day raise us up to life in the flesh, in resurrected body. It's all because of the incarnation. All because of the incarnation. It's why we're here. It's what we do. Because of Christmas and because of Easter, there isn't a people on the face of the earth more committed to life in the body than followers of Jesus. Because it's all about the incarnation for us. And a God who will not give up on us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.